Good morning, everyone.
Thank
you for coming on such a beautiful day. I would like to dedicate this talk to the 49 people who died in Orlando, Florida last week, and to the LGBTQ community.
很感恩大家在这么美丽的一个星期天还过来听经。我想今天我的讲座，我想献给在奥兰多枪击案中不幸逝世的49位众生。
And I'd like to quote the Dhammapada, which says that hatred can never conquer hatred, only love can conquer hatred. This is an eternal rule.
我也想在这里提到法句经里讲的一句话，说仇恨永远不能战胜仇恨，只有爱才能战胜仇恨。
And finally, to evoke the spirit of Nadine Collier, whose mother was one of the 9 people killed in the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, 1 year ago, and she is the one who said to the killer, "I forgive you." And so that spirit of love and compassion is something that I hope will underline my whole talk.
我还想把这个我的讲座献给在南卡州查尔斯顿教堂，牺牲就是被枪杀的9个人当中的一个人的母亲，他对杀手说：“我原谅你。”
Okay. So today I'm going to talk about emptiness, and this, as many know, is one of the most important teachings in Buddhism.According to Sherfu, Master Shengyan, understanding of emptiness follows from an understanding of impermanence, and from emptiness you can reach the point of experiencing and understanding no self, anatta. And this is, of course, a realization that leads to seeing the nature and full awakening and enlightenment.
今天我的话题呢是讲空性，这是佛教中一个很重要的概念。根据圣严师父说的，对空性的理解呢，也就是对无常的一种理解，然后最终呢可以带领我们理解到无我这个概念，最后能够见到我们的本性，也就是开悟。
Impermanence is a relatively easy concept to introduce. Most people.Can acknowledge change in the world of things and people, life and death, creation and decay. It is perhaps a little more difficult to accept change in one's mind because of our attachment to views and our lack of awareness of that attachment. We really stick to how we perceive the world.
无常呢可能是相对比较容易理解的一个概念，因为大部分人都会看到生活中事物的变化，或者是生与死啊，创造与毁灭啊，但是虽然对于这种无常，我们有时候觉得难以接受，因为我们对观念有所执着，我们对某些事物的观念有所执着，而对这种执着呢，我们又缺乏觉照。
But investigating change and impermanence can lead to an understanding that our minds are not always adaptable to the world around us. So we tend to impute a variety of attributes, characteristics, likes and dislikes to the world and ourselves that may have no grounding in reality. We may feel that our views and the way we see the world is carved in stone, so to speak,We may not admit that to ourselves, but that's how we act. But the true nature of the world in our minds is really empty of all of the things we add or try to subtract from our actual experience.
但是我们仔细研究一下，仔细研究调查一下我们对无常的理解，生活中有无常的现象的话，我们就会感受到我们的心并不是很容易对外在世界做出调整。因为我们比较倾向于对客观的事物加入自己对这些事物的理解呀，还有这些特点啊，还有自己对事物和一些我们自己的一些喜好，而这些特点啊、喜好啊，其实跟真实的本相是没有什么关系的。 所以我们好像觉得我们对事物的看法和对人的看法好像已经是非常固定的了。但是其实这个世界的本相和我们心的本相其实是跟我们这些自己的看法是没有关系的。
So I've just thrown out a bunch of abstract concepts and ideas, and I want to simplify that a little bit and explain, for example, what I mean when I say add or subtract things from our experience. And so I'm going to talk for a very little bit about a very famous gungan, a koan, where a monk approaches the Tang Dynasty Chan Master Zhao Zhou. I'll go through the whole thing. He says to Zhao Zhou, I have just entered the monastery. Please teach me. And then Zhao Zhou asked, have you eaten your rice porridge? The monk replied, I have eaten. Zhao Zhou then said, then you had better wash your bowl. And at that moment, the monk was enlightened. There is much that I could say about this gungan. You could give a whole talk on it. But I'd simply like to point out that Zhao Zhou's instructions to the monk were simplicity itself. And it was a direct teaching. There was no delving into personality or social niceties. Zhao Zhou wasn't asking him if he liked the seasoning in the food, if he was pleased by that, if he needed another napkin. There was no small talk, very, very direct. So Zhao Zhou was not trying to build the monk up or disparage him. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. This is the characteristic of a straightforward mind, an empty mind.
所以讲到空性呢，比较容易落入一些抽象的概念，所以我今天会举一个公案来说明。比如说有一个在唐朝的一个赵州公案，就是赵州，关于赵州禅师，有一次有一个人进到寺庙里来求法，然后他说我刚刚进到这个寺庙里来，然后赵州就问他，你今天有没有喝粥了？然后他说喝了，然后他说那你就应该去洗碗。赵州的回答是非常简单直接的，这里边也没有寒暄，然后那个人听了这个话之后就开悟了。这就是禅宗，他很简要直接，没有多余的寒暄之类的。
So when we talk about emptiness in Buddhism, we must be clear that it's a specialized term with a great depth of meaning and much nuance. In the West, emptiness is often associated with a feeling of an unhappiness, loneliness, and despair. It implies that something is absent. It may invoke a feeling of distress or even danger. The well is empty. That doesn't sound very good.
所以我们这里讲的空性是佛教特有的一个概念，所以也是佛教专有名词，需要比较多的解释才能明白。但在西方社会呢，空这个词听上去不是一个很让人高兴的概念，因为它通常跟不高兴啊、孤独啊、绝望啊之类的单词联系在一起，好像觉得缺乏了什么，会引起一种好像比较不高兴甚至有点危险的这样一种情感。比如说这个井水空掉了，没有了，这听上去不是很好。
So to clarify and explore emptiness, I will cover three areas. First, definitions of emptiness, so we're clear on what it is and what it is not. Next, I will discuss a variety of types of emptiness and how to recognize them. And finally, I will cover the usefulness of this teaching on emptiness. After all, it seems like a very abstract concept. Why bother with it?
所以呢，为了更好解释空性呢，我今天的讲座呢将会会提到三个方面。第一个方面呢是对空性的定义，这样子我们大家都很清楚空性是什么意思。第二个呢是空性的种类，我们又怎么样去确认这些空性。第三个呢是讲到，我会讲到空性这个 佛法这个教法它有什么有益的地方。毕竟如果它只是一个抽象的概念的话，我们还有什么必要去学习它呢？
So when we talk about emptiness, because we're using words and concepts, there are many ways to approach it and many definitions. But ultimately, no word or definition will explain something that has to be lived and experienced.
毕竟文字是很有限的，这个对空性的理解还是要通过自己亲身的体验。
So, when we use, when we use language to talk about emptiness, it's, by its very nature, it's not going to be rational. It's not going to be something that you just get from your understanding. So, here's an example of a statement by a 15th century Japanese Zen master, Ikkyu. And he said, become a Buddha? The mind can't do it. The body can't do it. Only what can't become a Buddha can become a Buddha.
正是因为这种空性，它当我们用文字来表达空性的时候，它不可能是很理性的，跟个人的感情啊观察毫无相关，所以这种无法解释又不可言说的空性的本质呢，是很难说的。比如说在15世纪日本有一位禅师叫伊苦，他就说过，他说成佛，他说心不可能成佛，身体不可能成佛，只有不可能成佛的可以成佛。
So only language like this can point to our true nature, empty of our ordinary thinking. How can something that can't do something do something? It seems absurd. But you might consider that even very ordinary things in our lives are inexplicable, yet they are accepted without question. Most educated people accept that matter is composed of atoms and molecules. But this understanding is not part of our everyday experience. We don't eat a piece of toast, and when we're eating it, we're not aware of its molecular structure, or the fact that it's made out of atoms and molecules, but we believe it. And we're addicted to some things, and we don't know why. We vow to do other things and we don't do them and we don't know why. So we can use some clarity into what really makes us tick. The study of Chan can lead us to know the unknowable.
所以说呢，像日本禅师用这种语言来指出我们本性，就是想要让我们放下我们平时的一些想法和妄念。看上去是挺荒唐的，什么只有不能成佛的可以成佛，听上去很荒唐。你或许会感到这个简直无法理解，无法解释。但是呢，其实在我们生活中我们有很多都是无法解释，但是我们却毫无疑问地接受了它。比如说很多接受过良好教育的人都知道物质是由分子和原子组成的。但这种理解并不是我们日常生活所经验体验到的。比如说我们不会在吃吐司面包的时候想，这个吐司面包是由怎么样怎么样的分子结构组成的，我们只会关注它的味道。所以我们会经常会经验一些事情，但我们并不知道是为什么。禅的方法就可以带领我们直接体验到事物的本性。
So consider this moment right now. It's Sunday, June 19th, a little after 11 a.m. This very moment. It's the only moment we have right now, this very moment. Think of how you experience your body right now, the people and the environment right around you at this moment, all the thoughts and feelings and memories from your past, what you did 10, 20 years ago, that you may be aware of. How could you possibly convey the complexity of that in a simple description, right? And this is true of everyone's lives, all of the learning and experience that you've had. it is not really something that you can express in any kind of an easy way. You may use words to describe your mood, like I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm confused, I'm motivated. And you might feel that you're communicating to a friend or a relative. But if you look deeper into ourselves, you'll see that those kind of very general descriptions don't really describe what is going on with us.
就比如说拿当下此刻例子的话，现在是6月19号星期天的早上，你现在身体和身心所体验到的所有的环境，所有的念头，所有的感觉，所有的记忆，你怎么可能用一个很简单的方式向别人来描述呢？因为它是非常非常复杂的。而你又是如何把你现当下身心所感受到的一切来向你自己描述的呢？恐怕这不是一件很容易的事情，不是一个真的能够一下子表达出来的东西。我们或许可以用语言来表达我们的情绪，比如说我今天很高兴，我今天很难过，或者我今天很困惑，或者我今天很有动力，但这只好像我们觉得我们已经给了一个比较充分的描述了。但如果我们仔细的往深处想一下的话，其实这种描述完全不能够表达我们此时当下身心所体验到的所有的事情。
So let's try to define the undefinable. The word that Buddha used for emptiness is shunyata, that's a Sanskrit word, and remember any translation of that we use, whether it's emptiness or voidness, is a translation, so it's going to be a little inaccurate to begin with. And in modern Hindi, this word shunya is still used, and it means zero. And of course, zero sounds like nothing. But if you picture the number 10,000, right, one with four zeros, you realize that the zeros may seem empty, right? You examine each little zero, there's nothing in it. But you can't remove any one of them and still have 10,000. They may be empty, but they are operational. So it's important to note that emptiness doesn't just mean nothingness. And as Master Shengyan points out, emptiness doesn't mean existence either. Not in the way we usually use it as, I see it, so it must be there.
所以现在就让我们试试看能不能定义这个无法定义的空性。在佛陀时代，佛陀所用的用的字来定义空性是用一个巴利是用一个 Sanskrit， 用的是叫 Shunyata。然后现在呢，在印度教当中还在用这个梵文Shunyata呢，用来指零的意思。当然，零听上去就像是什么都没有，但是如果你想一下一万这个数字的话，它是一个一，然后有四个零。你或许觉得零其实是什么都没有，是空的，但是你又不能把这一万当中四个零把它减掉任何一个，因为虽然零可能给你一种空的感觉，但是它本身却是有功能的，所以它可以组成一万这个数字。所以这里很重要的一点就是说，空性并不是说什么都没有是空的，圣严师父也提到，但是圣严师父也提到，空性也不代表什么都是有的，就是说你见到了什么就是什么，它也不代表存在。
So here's a simple math quiz. So everyone can pay attention to this. Someone goes into a store on Monday and they buy 7 for 90 cents. Then they go into the same store on Tuesday and they buy 23 for $1.80. On Wednesday, they go into the store and they buy 865 for $2.70. What were they buying? So, if you get caught up in the number of items. If you think they're buying, I don't know, pickles or ice cream, if you think that there's some items that can be divided into different portions, then you will never figure out this math quiz, because the truth is what the person was buying was house numbers. They went into a hardware store. You know, you put up in your apartment building, your house, a 1, a 7, a 6. Each one of those numbers, it doesn't matter what it is, costs 90 cents. So if you buy 1, it's 90 cents. 2 is $1.80. 3 of them is $2.70. But if you look at it the way that I first presented it, it can be confusing. So these numbers, which are really just objects, twisted metal objects, they are actually empty of numerical value. So what seems to be so may not be so in the way that you think it is.
所以我们这里来做一个简单的数学测试。比如说有人在星期一的时候去店里边买了一个七，用90美分买了一个数字七，然后呢他们又在星期二的时候呢又去店里买了花了1.8美元买了23，然后数字23，然后呢星期三的时候他们又花了2.7美元买了865。那么他们到底是在买什么呢？如果你被他买到底买什么东西被困住了，吸引住了，可能有时候你搞不清楚他到底在买什么。因为如果是买冰激凌啊，或者买其他一样东西是多少钱，两样东西是多少钱，那么那些数字好像跟件数没有关系。所以这些数字就没有，好像就没有数字上的意义。
Okay, so in his book on the Heart Sutra, the Dalai Lama calls emptiness the true nature of things and events. And that true nature is not found in the ordinary we perceive and react to the world.
Yeah, you finished this story already.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. It is simple cause. 然后在达赖喇嘛心经里，达赖喇嘛一本书《心经》当中写到的，他说，他称空性为所有事物事件的本质属性，而这种本质属性呢，不是我们在日常生活中能够觉察到并且做出反应的。
Okay, so emptiness means that things have no inherent nature, or no nature as we think they are. Things don't have any own being, and they themselves have no sense of being owned. So this microphone doesn't say, "Oh, I'm in Harry's hands now, and I'm helping him give a talk." Right? The microphone is just an object and doesn't know that it's a microphone, and we just take it to be that by convention. So things and us, for that matter, are not permanent. Once again, using the example of this, the microphone, there was a time when the metal that composes this microphone was ore in the ground. It had to be mined, it had to be constructed, and the rubber and plastic had to come also from the earth. So it wasn't always, these material here wasn't always a microphone, and I don't know how long it'll last. It won't always be a microphone. And if it didn't have a battery in it, then it wouldn't function as a microphone, so in a sense it wouldn't even be a microphone.
所以这里空性的意思就是说，事物它没有自己本质的自有的属性。比如说，就像我手中的麦克风一样， 首先他麦克风并不知道自己被贴为标签称为麦克风，他也不知道他现在正在帮忙这个佛法讲座，他而做麦克风的这个材料，这个金属材料也不会永远存在，而这个金属材料以前可能也不是用作麦克风用来做麦克风的。
So it's not permanent in the way that it is. Also, it's not independent. It doesn't have its own independent, unchanging nature. Right, not only for the reasons that I just mentioned, because it had to be constructed and it's kind of a temporary thing. It's not a thing, it's actually an event, right? Almost all the object, everything that we experience is really an event, but our minds don't slow down enough to see that. We take objects to be permanent and separate from ourselves. But everything around us, it's not like the table, the chair, the microphone is part of my body, but it is at this moment part of my experience. It's connected to what is happening in the moment. And that's an important thing to understand.
还有一种理解空性，就是说它不是独立存在的一个现象，不是跟其他事物没有关系的。比如说我们现在看到的桌子椅子还有麦克风啊，虽然它不是我们身体的一部分，却是我们当下能够体验到的，是当下体验的一部分，所以它并不是独立存在或者有独立的有一个自信在那边。
I'm talking about microphones a lot, and this is not an advertisement for stereo equipment, just want you to know that. So further, other ways thatThis thing, for example, is empty. It's empty of the characteristics that I am going to impute or imbue it with. So if I'm happy with it, it's a great microphone. If it's staticky or whatever, it's a stupid microphone, I could then say, I hate this microphone. I'm not going to use it at all. I could go on and think about how you might react to your car, right, if it's not working properly.You know, you shout at it, you complain to your friends, but it's just a hunk of metal and plastic with a bunch of electronic components, right? Everything that we bring to it, we bring to it out of our own sense of who we are and our perceived connection to it.
然后就像我现在讲了很多关于麦克风的例子，当然我不是为他在做广告，我只是想说我们在体验和观察麦克风的时候，其实加入了很多自己的观点和想法。比如说如果麦克风运作很好的话，我可能会觉得这是一个很好的麦克风，但是如果它给我静电啊噪音啊，我可能会认为它是一个很糟糕的麦克风，就像我们对自己汽车的想法是一样的。
So we can become aware that there is much, maybe everything, going on in our mind, which is mind-created and doesn't necessarily have to do with what we are experiencing, or it's a distortion of it. This is really what Guo Xingfasher has been talking about for so long, when he talks about not mistaking your image of the mother in your mind for your actual mother.
所以这里你就可以看出我们在看待事物的时候，其实都有一些加入了个人观点之后的扭曲，就像国行法师一再强调的，你心中的妈妈不是妈妈一样。
So engaging in practice this way is a way to undergo a process of emptying the mind, that is cutting through our delusions. This does not mean to push thoughts out of our mind, only to notattached to them.
所以我们的修行就是要能够看到我们怎么样把客观事物给扭曲化了，然后能够切断这些对客观事物的扭曲的妄想啊妄念啊。当然说不是说完全的要灭掉自己的念头，而是说不要对这些自己所附加的一些妄念妄想呢太执着。
SoContinuing an approach like this ultimately leads to an ultimate sense of emptiness, sometimes called the emptiness of emptiness. And even though, once again, that's very abstract language, illogical in a way, it just means, as I've mentioned before, that it can't be described. It's experiential. Any name, description, label, comparison that you try to use in understanding emptiness is ultimately not going to work.
所以最后有一种所谓的叫空性本身是是空的，这个意思就是说，空性这个概念是无法用语言文字所描述的，它是一种体验性的，是必须经过自己去体验才能够了解的。
So Thich Nhat Hanh describes this very simply as an understanding that things are not empty at all. They contain all things. Anything contains the entire universe or is connected to the entire universe. But the one thing that things don't have is our ideas about them. That is actually what we're talking about when we talk about emptiness. So he sometimes uses an example of paper. Right, this paper, once again, connected to everything because it came from a tree, which came from the earth. We always deconstruct these things in our talks, but so it's connected to so many different things. It's in this moment, but the idea that it's a piece of paper that you can write on is just something that we have. Right, an ant crawling on this piece of paper wouldn't be jotting down memos on it. So it's and another way of explaining this is I know Guo Gu often says that like for now in this talk I am composed of non-hairy things, as mean is composed of non-mean things. It's we don't normally perceive the world this way, but it's a very important understanding.
就像一行禅师对空性的描述是说，他对空性的理解是这些事物是一点也不是空无的虚无的，比如说空性其实包含了所有的现象，包含了所有除了我们对这些现象自己产生附加的一些观念而已。比如说一张纸它只是说它自己本身是没有所谓纸性，但是呢它这张纸确实有很多功能，有很多跟它相关的一些现象。就好像国古菩萨经常会举例说Harry 这个本身没有什么 Harry 属性，但是它本身是以很多现象关系的一个集合体。
Okay, so emptiness in the realm of meditation is both a means and an end. I was reading Sherfu's book, Getting the Buddha Mind, and he talks about Chan in that way. That Chan, sometimes Sherfu talks about Chan as the world of enlightenment itself, the absolute clear perception of things and ideas and everything as they are. Yet Chan, which means meditation, is also the practice of reaching that state. And emptiness has that connotation also. We're emptying in terms of practicing, and we're recognizing that there is this this state of pure awareness, of non-attachment.
空性在打坐这个角度去理解的话，它既是一个方法，也是一个最后的一个状态和目标。比如说圣严师父在一本书里边就提到，他说就像禅的状态一样，禅本身它是一种状态，是一种很清晰明了的观测到所有事物本来属性的一个本来面目的一个状态，但是它也可以被理解为禅，也可以被理解为是一种具体的修行方法，用这种修行方法来达到这种状态。
So just to repeat it, we have a conceptual idea that things are empty. We engage in the practice of emptying, practicing non-attachment, attachment, and eventually we experience emptiness, our true nature, a mind unencumbered by ego-made vexations.
所以，很简单的一个回顾就是说，空性可以从三个角度来理解。第一个是从概念上来理解，从概念上理解什么是空性；第二个是从方法上来理解，是说就是一种不执着的态度，不执着的修行方法。然后最后呢，从状态上和目标上来理解，它就是可以让我们见到自己的本性。
Indeed, in the Dvadnas Nikaya Sastra by the third century Indian Buddhist master Nagarjuna, it says the greatest wisdom is the so-called shunyata. I love how he uses so-called, so he's not taking everything with a grain of salt. So thus emptiness is the embodiment and in a way a definition of the path to wisdom. It is the world and oneself clearly perceived. It is non-obstruction.Not nothingness.
就像龙树菩萨，就像印度第三世纪的大菩萨龙树菩萨在十二门论当中，他提到，他说，最伟大的智慧呢，就是被称为是空性的智慧。但是空性呢，从某种角度来说，是对智慧的一种定义。就像这种智慧就是说能够体验观测世界和他自己用一种非常清晰的无障碍的但又不是虚无的方法来观察。
So the Prajna Sutra says that which is profound has shunyata and non-attachment as its significance. No form, nor deeds, no rising, nor falling as its implications.
就像在般若经中也说到，他说那个最深奥的就是它有两个属性，有两个重要属性，一个就是空性，还有一个是不执着。它没有形象，它没有相，也没有行为，不生，不会升起，也不会落下，都是它的属性。
And of course, there are many schools and varieties of Buddhism.There are very big, thick books written just about the topic of emptiness. And so there are nuanced differences in the way that emptiness is described. So in this talk, I'd like to simplify that and just reduce emptiness and all of its variations to one word, and that is clarity. Trying to see the world as it is.
当然对于空性的描述呢佛教有很多流派很多流派有很多的著作一卷一卷的著作来描述空性到底是什么我想在这里呢我只想把它简单的归纳为一个词那就是清晰就是说清晰的觉察观测看到这个世界的本来面目
So wisdom experiences everything, but attaches to nothing. So in clarifying our experience, trying to understand emptiness, we have to be careful not to get lost in abstractions and concepts. Also, emptiness can be taken too seriously, and it can be not taken seriously enough.
智慧呢？可以体验所有东西，但是呢，又不执着于所体验到的现象。就像在我们经验当中，我们想要去理解空性呢，我们必须要非常小心，既不要太过认真执着于空性的概念，或者它的抽象性，但是呢，也不能不思索，不考虑。
So taking emptiness too seriously, the Dalai Lama warns us to avoid the misapprehension that emptiness is an absolute reality or an independent truth. In other words, there's no realm of emptiness that you can go to.
所以，对于不要把空性 这个概念理解太认真，这个这方面达赖喇嘛曾经警告过我们说，要避免对空性的一种误解。如何的误解？就是说好像它是一个客观存在的一个现，客观存在的一个现实，或者一个独立的事，独立的真相一样。
So Nagarjuna taught emptiness wrongly grasped is like picking up a poisonous snake by the wrong end. In other words, we can be bitten. And he wrote, Buddhas say emptiness is relinquishing opinions. Believers in emptiness are incurable.
龙树菩萨呢也教导我们说，空性如果被理解错误的话呢，就像从错误的一端抓起了一条毒蛇。换句话说呢，我们有可能被咬到。就像他写到的，他说当佛陀在讲空性的时候呢，他讲的是要放弃我们对事物的见解，自己的见解观念。而当修行者信仰者在理解空性的时候呢，却是有时候会无可救药的理解错了。
So reinforcingthis point of being too attached to emptiness, Bodhidharma, the first Chan patriarch, said, the Buddhas expound the Dharma of emptiness in order to eradicate the myriad false views. But should you then cling to emptiness, even the Buddhas will be unable to do anything to help you. When there is arising, it is only emptiness that arises. When there is perishing, there is only emptiness that perishes. In reality, nothing whatsoever arises or perishes.
刚刚龙树菩萨那写的，我再说一下。龙树菩萨说，佛陀讲的空性呢，是说放弃自己的观念见解。但是如果有人迷信空性本身的概念的话，那将是无可救药的。菩提达摩禅宗的第一任祖师，在中国第一任祖师呢也说到，他说佛陀在讲到空性的时候，在解释空性的时候，他是想要让我们能够根除我们对事物的错误的见解，以基于自我这种错误的见解。但是呢，如果你过于执着空性而抓取空性的话呢，即便佛陀也没有办法帮助你。当有升起的时候呢，它只有空性在升起，而当灭亡的消灭的时候，又只有空性在消灭。在现实当中，其实没有生也没有灭。
So too literal of an understanding of emptiness, taking it too literally, can lead to a sense of nihilism or antinomianism. That's a fancy word meaning being above moral laws that precepts don't apply to you, which of course is not true. So a true understanding of emptiness is not about keeping us separate from the world. It's quite the opposite. Guo Gu, Jimmy Yu, sometimes defines emptiness as relationships. This is a recognition that we and everything around us are not separate. We inter are, as Thich Nhat Hanh describes it. Everything is connected, and we just have to rise above the way that we normally relate to the world.
所以如果对空性过于做字面上的理解呢，有些时候会导致一种虚无主义的产生。好像觉得什么都是没有的，反正也不用负责任啊，也不需要遵守一些道德准则。所以真正对空性的理解并不是让我们跟这个世界隔绝开来，说反正什么都是没有的，而恰恰相反，就像果谷菩萨有时候会说到，空性它定义为是一种关系的集合，就好像对我们以及周围所有现象的一种认识，就是我们都是其实都是相互连结的，而不是相互独立的。
So emptiness may have a seemingly negative tone in early Buddhism, so later schools defined emptiness with a more positive spin. True suchness, boundlessness, Tathagatagarbha, and wondrous existence and true self. With the shades and filters and mud of the ego removed, we experience the world in our minds as luminous and expansive.
所以空性好像在佛教当中有一个看上去比较负面的感觉，负面的语言，但是后来在佛教流派当中呢，就给他一些比较正面的定义，比如说说他是真实的本性啊，说他是如如不动啊，说他是无边无际啊，说他是如来藏啊，是真空妙有啊。
So emptiness also allows for change and impermanence. Everything is possible, once again, from Nagarjuna. When emptiness is possible, everything is possible. Were emptiness impossible, nothing would be possible. So Simon Child likes to show that if there were no emptiness or no impermanence, you would gesture and then everything would be frozen. There would be no movement, no growth, no change.
I skipped. 所以就像在龙树菩萨的根本中颂当中提到，他说当空性是有可能的时候，一切皆有可能，当空性是不可能的时候，没有什么是有可能的。就像禅修我们这里的法子英国的 Simon Child 他经常会提到的，如果没有空性的话，那么一切将会停止不动，一切都会固定。
So as you may know, the title of my talk was Emptiness is Simple, We're Complicated. And I know there's lots of definitions and lots of citations and sutras that I'm throwing at you, but that's really the essential message. And it's very important. I'll get to it later in the talk, but I began talking about some of the absolute terrible things that happen in the world, terrorism crimes of hatred. And if you think about that, to have those kind of emotions, it means that somebody is way, way away from a concept of emptiness and has built layer after layer after layer of delusions and then acts on those and hurts innocent people. So this teaching is really quite important.
所以就像我的今天讲座标题说，空性是简单的，我们人性却是很复杂的。其实我们这里主要的问题是因为我们人性的复杂性，让我们对很多事物的本来现象加了很多自己的喜好啊、见解啊，就像一层一层的关系往这样子往上加。我到时候会举一些例子来讲到。
Okay, so now I'm going to part two of my talk. This is about different kinds of emptiness. And once again, I'll give a number of different kinds. And in all of these examples, no matter what kind or type of emptiness, I will be employing the concept of clarity that I talked about. Because if you think about it, labeling emptiness, a kind of emptiness, is impossible. I mean, it's beyond labels. So what I'm really labeling is our misconceptions and our assumptions about things. We have loads and loads of assumptions about the world that we're not aware of. So when I give these examples, it will be pointing out in various different ways the kinds of things that we have in our minds that are self-created, that only exist in our minds.
接下来呢，我会讲第二部分，就是讲到空性的种类。所以我会给一些例子来讲到我们是如何放了很多自己的假设啊、前提在里边。因为空性本身是一个抽象的概念，但是它可以被分解为不同的种类，这样子大家就可以更加清晰的了解到。
So these examples come from talks by Dharma teacher Gil Fronsdale and from Prashastra Sena, a 7th century Indian monk. And these examples are described in David Lopez's book on the Heart Sutra.
所以呢，我会给一些例子，会给一个禅 一个禅修老师叫Gil Fonsdale， 他引用的印度七世纪的一个印度七世纪一个学者的一些经典的句子。
So first, there is the emptiness of absoluteness. That things are empty of absolute meaning. We tend to have a take on our situation and on other people's behavior. When my daughter was 6 months old, I handed her to my mother, and my daughter immediately started to cry. And so my mother immediately concluded that my daughter didn't like her, right? And 6 month old babies don't have concepts that, or those kind of opinions. But in my mother's mind, that was absolutely true. So that's what the emptiness of absoluteness is.
第一个讲到的呢是说空性的绝对性，比如说即使是没有这种绝对的意义的，比如说我们可以举个例子说，我的女儿在6个月大的时候，有一次我把她交给我的母亲，然后这个婴儿一见到我的母亲就开始哭了，然后就开始哭闹，然后我母亲就有一个结论，她认为她的孙女并不喜欢她。这种感觉或这种结论对我母亲来说好像很真实。但实际上这个观念本身是没有现实，没有不存在现实性的。
There is the emptiness of inherent value. This is the mistaken idea that something has the value that you assign to it in an absolute way. Your opinion about a book or a kind of food or a restaurant or a group of people. Right? There are those who unfortunately hold a view that all Muslims are bad. Such people often vilify a variety of groups of people. We may feel that this is nonsense, but unfortunately it's very real to them and often dangerous. So this tendency to assign inherent value can be very subtle as well.
还有第二种的对空性的理解就是说事物并不存在固有的自有的一些属性。比如说就像我们经常会认为事物有一些自由属性，好像看上去是一种很绝对的角度，比如说我们会对一本书或者一种食物或者对一组人有自己的很强烈的看法和想法。比如说有些人很不幸的会认为，他说所有的穆斯林都是坏的，就是人们经常会把一组人把它极端化，认为都是怎么怎么样的。
So in terms of how subtle this inherent value can be, the Theravadan teacher Goenka tells a story of, for example, if he has a $25,000 Rolex watch, use your imagination, and it falls on the ground and it breaks, and I'm distraught. I'm in tears because of this expensive watch that's just been broken.But then your $25,000 Rolex falls on the floor and breaks, and I say, oh, too bad. I'm not distraught, right? Because when it's my expensive watch, then it's really terrible. But when it's your expensive watch, it's no big deal, right? I don't care about the watch. It's my relationship to it.
所以就像就像南传的一个老师曾经经常爱举的一个例子，就是说如果我有一块很名贵的劳力士手表，价值$25,000，你可以用你的想象力，然后有一天我不小心把它摔坏了，然后你可以想象我会很沮丧，因为这是我的一块名贵的手表。但是如果是我的朋友，如果是我看到你把一块名贵的手表摔坏了，我可能会说哎呀太糟糕了，但是我并不会很沮丧，因为这个不是我的名贵手表。可见这里大家关心的其实并不手表本身，而是说它跟我之间的关系。
So there is the emptiness of our projections. This is the false assumption of seeing someone who is a doctor or a lawyer, for example, and thinking that's who they are. They're a doctor, they're a lawyer. Even if they're in a bowling alley and they're not doing anything, they're not practicing medicine or law. We may think of the Chan Center where we are now as a temple, but not very long ago, this building right here was a furniture store. And the old Chan Center, which is down Corona and across the street, when we moved in there in the 1980s, it was a machine shop. And they were repairing engine blocks, which weigh, I don't know, 200 pounds, and they would very often throw them on the floor, making a sound. I remember when I was meditating, it felt like they were throwing it inside my body. It was so loud. And then we moved out of the Chan Center, and that building became a Christian church. And now that building is a Colombian restaurant. So our projections about where we are now, what we think something is, are only momentarily valid. Things can change at any moment.
第三种空性呢，就是说描述我们的，我们对事物的假设、预设、投射这种想法其实是空的。比如说，当我们知道一个人他的职业是律师或者医生的时候呢，我们对他的想法、对他的看他的角度，只会从律师或者医生的角度，哪怕他们其实并不是在工作中的时候，比如说他们在打保龄球的时候，但我们看到他还是觉得，哦，他是一个医生，他是一个律师。就像我们现在看禅中心一样，我们现在所处的禅中心这个位置，他以前在不久以前他其实是一个家具店。而以前的禅中心呢，是在Corona 大道那边。当我们在80年代搬进去的时候，搬进去以前它是一个卖机器的，而且是卖机器和修机器的，而声音也非常吵闹。现在后来那个卖机器的店呢搬出去了，后来就变成了禅中心，但是后来我们也搬走了，它那个地方就变成了一个基督教的一个场所。再后来呢，现在呢就变成了一个哥伦比亚卖甜，一个哥伦比亚的餐馆。可见同样一个地点它在不同的时刻有着不同的作用，它其实也没有自由的属性，也是在不断变化的。
There is the emptiness of the self, of course, one of the highest teachings in Buddhism. So this is where we impute, once again, a particular meaning to ourselves, not just as identifying with a profession, doctor, lawyer, or that we're a wife, a husband, a child, a father, a mother, all of these roles that we have, we take them to be ourselves, to be exactly who we are. And once again, our roles and what we do in a given moment continually change. We're not always acting as a father or mother. We might be just playing cards. And we also, this goes even further, where we get larger ideas about ourselves. I am a wonderful person. Like Donald Trump might say, or I'm just an awful person, right? Nobody likes me. All of those things are illusions. Those are things where you're not seeing the emptiness of the self, but nonetheless, you're reifying your ideas. You're taking your ideas and making them more and more real. And that's the emptiness of the self.
然后还有一种空性呢，是说其实自我这个概念它其实是空的，就是说我们所谓自我的概念是空的，就是说我们加入了很多我们自己的想象、自己的理解、自己的喜好，自己的角色，比如说我们对一个人的描述会加进他的职业啊，他的社会、家庭和工作中角色是一个父亲，是一个母亲，或者我们会认为或者我们认为我们自己是一个很好的人，或者很糟糕的人，或者 但实际上我们这种角色并不是时时刻刻永远存在固定不变，比如说我们或许是一个父亲母亲，或者是一个某个职业的一个人，但是我们在休闲比如说玩牌的时候，其实我们并没有在担当父亲母亲这个角色。还有我们对自己和他人的看法，比如说Trump 可能会说自己是一个很好的人，很了不起的人，另一个人可能会觉得那个人是一个坏蛋，这种看法都是一遍又一遍的在加深我们自己的这种想象，这种看法，但它实际上本身是没有固有属性。
So a little bit more about emptiness of self. We see ourselves as determining agents in the worldThere is an I that observes and participates in everything that I do. But when you take a dynamic view of any given situation, there are so many causal and conditional factors around us that our views about ourselves and our interactions with the world are skewed, they're distorted. If we build a table, for example, we may think that this is my creation. If I paint a picture, I painted it.But we didn't grow the trees that produce the wood for the table. We didn't manufacture the varnish or the tools or the nails or develop the technology that would enable someone to build a table. We're really participants in a set of processes which are interacting with other sets of processes.
进一步解释这种自我的空性的时候呢，我们可以也从另一个角度来说，比如说我们这个自我经常是一个会观察到是个观察者，也是一个参与者。其实有很多时候在各个特定的条件下，很多事情的成就是由很多因缘组成的。但是我们的看法，我们自己的想法却认为好像是却会有偏差，好像都是由于我自个人成就的。比如说我们在做一个桌子，我们可能认为我们做了一个桌子，但实际上呢我们并没有种这棵树啊，有木头长成的最后就这个树长成一棵能够用来做木材，但我们其实并没有种这棵树。我们也没有把树加工成木头，我们也没有制作我们的工具啊或者钉子呀，我们只是在做这个桌子的整个过程当中，其实一个小环节，我们只是参与了其中一个步骤而已。
So there is the emptiness of inherent existence, that we are in a certain time and a certain place in a certain way. We believe in the idea of a self.An other, a sentient being, or a lifespan. These are words right from the Diamond Sutra. We believe that we are subject to death, not just the death of mind and body, but to the death of ideas, desires, happiness. There is a great resistance to change. This, of course, leads to fear. And if we see ourselves as a part of a process, or at least note the emptiness of our views,We are less subject to fear and disturbance in the mind.
还有一种空性理解是对固有的自有的存在的一种空性的理解。因为我们在任何地点任何时候，我们都会相信有一个人，有一个其他人，有一个众生，有一个生命的长度就像在《金刚经》中所描述的那样，我们相信我们自己也是会死亡的。不仅仅是身体观念心念的死亡也是各种想法呀感受啊欲望呢各种各样的死亡。但是有一种对变化我们有一种本能的抗拒力，就像这种对这种变化的抗拒力会让我们感到害怕。但是如果我们能把我们自己看作是整个过程当中的一部分，我们就会受到比较少的干扰。
Once again, all of these emptinesses, types of emptiness I'm talking about, this is not a teaching that the Buddhas or Bodhisattvas need. It's if you're clear, you're not making these assumptions. Once again, as I go on further, All of these different types of emptiness are assumptions about the world. So another kind of emptiness posited by Prashanta Sena is the emptiness of what has not yet come to be. Right? The image for this is the non-existence of yogurt when you just have milk. You can make yogurt from milk, but if you just have milk, there's no yogurt there. And this points to the emptiness of the future, and which exists only in our minds. Seeing this clearly will curtail endless projections.
当然，以上提到的这些空性的不同种类的空性啊，都是那个印度学者提到的。然后他还提到了，还有一种空性是对未来事物的一种空，就是说，比如说当你只有牛奶的时候，你还没有酸奶，因为你要做酸奶的话，你要从牛奶开始。这个例子就指出了未来的一种空性，就是说未来它只存在于我们的心念当中，它还没有出现，没有存在。
There is the emptiness of what no longer is. The image of this is yogurt. Now you have yogurt. It came from milk, but where is the milk? It's gone. So this is the milk is no longer there, and by extension, the past is gone and exists only in our minds.
同样的，也有过去，对过去这种过去的一种空性，也就是说，当你已经有酸奶的时候，牛奶已经不复存在了。那么牛奶到哪里去了呢？牛奶只存在于我们的心念当中。
There is the emptiness of what cannot exist. A rabbit with horns.The child of a barren woman, a flying hippopotamus. I'm going to say more about this a little later. But understanding this can be a check on our unreasonable expectations about ourselves and the world.
还有一种是对不可能存在现象的一种空性。比如说不可能长有脚的兔子，找到有脚的兔子，不可能一个没有生育能力的人的会有他的小孩，也不可能有一个飞翔的河马。当然对这个的理解呢，可以作为一个对你有不切实际的不切实际的期望的一个检查。
There is the emptiness of one thing not being in another. There is no cow in a horse. There's no horse in a cow. So this is the fault of being unclear about what is right in front of us.
还有一种是对一种事物不可能是另一种事物的一种空。比如说有一个，比如说在马当中，你不可能看到在这是一个马，就不是一个牛。反过来也是，它既然是一头牛，它就不是一个马。
All right, there is the emptiness of entity-ness. Again, entity is a defined concept or person, right? So that the way that we define things that we observe is empty. And this, the image for this is mistaking a snake or a rope for a snake when you're in the jungle. You know, you step, you see something coiled, you think it's a snake, but it was actually a rope. Or you see someone in the forest, you think they're sitting on a pile of rocks, and you get closer and closer, and you see it's really just a pile of rocks. There was no person there, but you imagined it through your experience and your concepts. And so emptiness does not take borders or limitations as having an absolute existence. Ignoring this kind of emptiness, the emptiness of entiness, allows the inertia of our minds to make us jump to unwarranted conclusions.This extends to how we can take just a few factors, a little bit of information about a person or a group of people and jump to wild conclusions and fabrications about them.
还有一种空性是对事物体的一种空性，比如说我们会误认，我们有时候会把绳子误认为毒蛇，就像有一圈绳子盘绕在那边，你还以为是一条毒蛇在那边， 这种空心就是这种空的意义，就让我们能够体验到、理解到，有时候我们会只收集到部分的信息，但是却做出错误的结论。
And then, finally, there's the emptiness of time and space, and the emptiness of subject and object, which leads, and that, of course, is the teaching of non-duality, which would be a whole talk in itself. But this is not to say these dimensions, time and space, subject and object, they don't necessarily exist as in conventionally, only that they become skewed in our minds. So Alaska used to belong to Russia. Now it belongs to the United States. The landmass didn't change. Nothing changed. The world wasn't reshaped by that. It's just the conventions have changed from Russia now to the United States. And of course, the fact that we view that differently and a different civilization moved in had many consequences, but fundamentally, that landmass is empty of being Alaska, and it's empty of being owned by Russia or the United States. So a lecture like this one can be a delight or a complete bore, right? So that time may seem to go faster or slower according to how you react to what you're experiencing. So we don't see the mutual dependence of subject to object and object to subject. So we hold these things as separate in our mind. Our thinking makes things one way or another. In Shakespeare's play, Hamlet says, "Oh God, I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams."
还最后一种空性，当然就是我们经常我们这一集想提到的是时间空间的一种空性，以及主客二元对立的一种空性。当然这并不是说时空并不存在，或者说它没有功能，只是说在我们的观念心念当中它经常会被扭曲。比如说阿拉斯加曾经是属于俄国的，属于苏联，但是但现在阿拉斯加是属于美国的，它的地貌并没有发生变化，但由于它换了国家，它的当然是有一系列的后果的，比如说现在这个讲座也是，如果你觉得很有兴趣的话，那么听讲座这个时间就会过得很快，觉得是一个很享受的过程。如果你觉得对讲座不是很感兴趣呢，你就会觉得很枯燥，然后时间就会过得非常慢，所以我们有时候并没有看到主客之间还有客体与主体之间这种相互依存的一种关系，而我们总是认为现象与现象之间是独立存在的，这就是我们经常会犯的错误。就像哈姆雷特当中会讲到，上帝啊，如果我不是正在做噩梦的话，我可以即便是困在一个贝壳大小的空间里，我也可以把自己想象认为自己是一个无限空间中的一个国王。
So a clear mind will be less likely to be swayed by these different kinds of emptiness. A totally awakened mind would be unaffected by them, would be clear and direct.
在所有的上述描述当中呢，如果你有一个很清晰的心，你的心很清澈明了的时候呢，你就不大容易被这种假象啊，或者一些错误的预设所干扰。
So now we come to the last part of the talk, which is what is the use of emptiness? How can it help us, this teaching? Any engagement and investigation into emptiness will help reduce suffering, our resistance to the way things are. So, begin with, in a Theravadan approach, the Theravadan monk Thanissaro Bhikkhu notes that using emptiness, we can see our actions in terms of our actual intentions, not just as extensions of ourselves. So the Buddha told his son to use his thoughts, words, and deeds as a mirror. In other words, just as you would use a mirror to check any dirt on your face, Rahula, the Buddha's son, was to examine his intentions as a means of learning where there was still something impure in his mind, something where he was either trying to harm himself or harm other people. Clear about your intentions, you accept the fruits of your actions. If there's no harm to self and others, you can do it. If afterwards there was harm, you consult another person on the path. So if you're open about your experience to others, that's helpful in not concealing it to yourself. Very important. So you learn and vow not to repeat. Concentrating on the actions themselves as opposed to the person who's doing those actions leaves a sense of self out of it and makes us more likely to view our own behavior clearly.
所以现在我要进入最后一部分讲座，今天最后一部分就是说我们应该如何利用空性这个概念来帮助我们修行呢？它对我们有什么意义呢？就像南传的一个比丘曾经说到，他说运用空性这个概念呢，可以帮助我们看到我们自己行为背后的意图，我们出发点，而不是说是我们自己的延伸。比如说佛陀告诉他的儿子摩诃罗说，要把他的身口意，要把他的身口意当作一个镜子一样的来观察。用换句话来说呢，就像你会用一个镜子来检查你脸上有没有脏东西一样。佛陀告诉摩诃罗呢，要经常检验他的意图，他的出发点，发心是不是作为发心点，是不是作为是不是有什么还不干净的地方，还不清净的地方，他的身口意有没有不清净的地方，经常用来检查。就像当你很清楚了解到你每一个身口意后面的身口意后面的出发点意图的时候，你会能够预期到这种行为所带来的后果到底有没有对自己或者对他人造成伤害。如果已经造成伤害的话呢，你可以向善知识请教，或者你也可以把它藏起来，既欺骗自己也欺骗他人。但是我们是应该能够觉察到，并且呢要学会发誓再也不重复这样的错误。
So emptiness is foundational for adherence to the precepts, continuing the line of, that I was talking about, especially the precept of lying. Not only will it check you on lying to others, right, since in order to lie, you have to be very much caught up in the fabrications in your mind, but it will give you pause before you lie to yourself. If your motivations are impure, if you're in a state of denial, using the clarity of emptiness will be remedial. Likewise, the four precepts of not killing, stealing, engaging in sexual misconduct, or using intoxicants becomes clearer in the context of emptiness. When there is a diminished sense of self, then there will be less motivation to harm yourself or others.
而空性呢，也是坚守戒律的一个基础，特别是对于不妄语这个戒律。你可以经常检验一下，检查一下自己有没有对其他人撒谎，并且在你想撒谎之前呢，也会坚守这条戒律，也会给你一个停顿，给你自己一个阻力，让你不要去撒谎。你可以看一下，这种不撒谎也包括对自己不要撒谎，不要欺骗自己。如果当你对如果你能运用空性的这种很清澈清晰度的话，你可以用这个来检测。同样的，其他四个戒律，杀盗淫还有不饮酒这些戒律呢，在空性的背景下都可以变得更加清晰明了。 如果有对自我能够减小一些，能够放下一些，你就不大会去伤害你自己和其他人。
As Sherfu points out, we usually think that things exist based on our emotions about them. When you see things as they are, unencumbered by personal feelings, this is the first level of entering the door of Chan.
好，师父也指出，我们通常，我们通常都是以我们自己情感，的反应来观测，来看到事物的存在性，当你能够放下自己的各种偏见啊、情绪啊，而看到事物它本来属性的时候，又没有加入过多个人情感的时候，这个其实是你进入禅门的第一步。
So if you remember the emptiness of what cannot be, I spoke about a few minutes ago, the horned rabbit, for example, you can extend that to how people make inaccurate assessments and projections about themselves.So someone with very little musical talent dreams of being a great musician. Someone who wishes to be a doctor has no scientific, skills or attitude. And in each of these cases, the person makes him or herself more miserable. Perhaps the doctor would be happier pursuing a career as a musician. Perhaps the musician would be happier being a doctor. They'll never know if they remain stuck in their fantasiesabout what they want to do, as opposed to actually looking deeply inside and seeing who they are.
所以就像我刚刚提到的，长脚的兔子，世界上没有长脚兔子这个例子，其实它就是指出了我们对，由于加入了个人的情感啊，我们对自己也做了不是很准确的判断，也很难做出准确的判断。比如说一个音乐家，他可能并没有音乐天分，但是他却梦想成为音乐家，而一个医生却没有经过，一个想成为医生的人没有经过医学训练却想成为医生，这些都是对自己没有经过准确的判断，没有经过仔细的审查而做出的一些不是很准确的结论或想象和期望。
So in using the teaching of emptiness, we can clarify the SOS, that's sense of self, not the self itself, and better learn who we are. It's important to note that the clarification of a sense of self is not a denial of our actual existence and the fact that we have reasonable desires and fears in order to live our lives in a reasonable way.We cannot instantly melt away a sense of self, we ordinary sentient beings. But it's what we have to work with. And Sherfu continues to point out that we can move from this small, very self-involved sense of self to a larger sense of self. That's a feeling of being at one with the universe. And eventually to the experience of no self.Which is shorthand or a code word for experiencing the world as it is from the point of view of emptiness, which is devoid of point of views. Of course, this doesn't mean that we disappear. It means that our vexations are no longer a cause for our concern, but we still have them.
这里很重要的要指出的就是说，对自我的这种感觉和认识的清晰度呢，并不是说对自我存在的一种否定。实际上呢，当我们有合理的欲望啊，或者是害怕呀，因为我们要活在这个世界上，必须要有一些合理的一些需求啊，我们也不可能立刻就把自我完全消融掉，我们必须要从我们合理的欲望啊、害怕呀、啊，以及合理的要求、期望入手来修行。就像师父曾经指出，我们可以从一个很小的自我呢，慢慢修行到变一个一种感觉到大的自我的一种状态，就好像有一种自己和整个宇宙最后自己和整个宇宙融合的这样一种统一心的一种状态，而最后呢才能够经历或者感受到无我这个状态。无我，所谓无我呢，其实就是说从空性的角度去感受经历这个世界， 也就是说我们不会加入个人的任何的情感看法想法。当然在这个时候并不是说我们就消失了，只是说我们的烦恼已经不再是一个造成困惑的一个问题了。
Engagement with emptiness can reduce complexity and increase simplicity. I recently had a charge from my leasing company when my car lease ended. They sent me a bill for what's called a disposition charge. It was several hundred dollars. I thought it was extortion, outright theft. I was ready to yell, scream, and threaten the leasing company, or at least those thoughts went through my mind. I checked the internet and the contract I signed, and I realized I have to pay it, whether I like it or not. By being clear on what was actually happening as opposed to my wishes and my version of reality, I simplified the situation. I still don't like it, but I have reduced the potential suffering. The bill is really empty of my feelings about it. Just because my wallet suffers doesn't mean I have to.
就像举个例子，我最近我的租车合同到期了，我把那个我租的车子还掉的时候，他居然要收我几百块钱，然后当时非常愤怒，非常不高兴，然后至少我这些不高兴的念头都已经存在并且闪过。但是呢，由于我能够清晰地了解到我自己起的这些念头，虽然我还是很不喜欢，我的钱包要受损了，但是呢，我却意识到这种这个念头以及钱包，它就是暂时的一个念头而已，所以虽然我的钱包要遭难了，但并不代表我一定要受这个烦恼的困扰。
So, Sherfu said that there can be no experience of emptiness without generating the Bodhi mind, that is, a wish to help others. So, compassion and the experience of emptiness are intimately related. The less one is caught up in one's own concerns, the more one is available to others. And this means you have the ability to be skillfully compassionate towards others and care for yourself as well.
圣严师父也说到，如果你想体验空性的话，不可能没有菩提心，也就是说，一种强烈的想要帮助别人的愿望。所以说，慈悲和空性的体验应该是紧密连结在一起的。越是没有只是关注，越是没有只关注自己，而不帮助别人的话呢？你越有可能能够运用方法来体验到空性，就相当于你有一些比较善巧的方便呢，去帮助别人，同时呢也帮助你自己。
Awakening is the final result of the realization of emptiness. This is the realm of non-duality, beyond what are called the eight winds. Of gain and loss, joy and sorrow, praise and blame, fame and ill repute. This is the emptiness described in the Heart Sutra, when Avalokiteshvara realizes the emptiness of the five skandhas, the emptiness of who and what we think we are. He concludes that form is not other than emptiness and emptiness not other than form.
当然最后的觉醒，也就是说了悟空性呢，是一个最后的一个阶段，也就是开悟是最后一个阶段，就是说我们已经达到了一种没有二元对立的状态，也超越了得失喜伤赞悔名誉或者别人对你不好评价这种八风吹不动的一种状态。这种空性的状态，也就是在《心经》当中提到的，观世音菩萨意识到五蕴皆空，并且我们是谁，我们认为我们是谁，它这些都是空。然后他总结成一句话，就是色不异空，空不异色。
So this is the ultimate clarity, seeing the world just as it is, engaged but not caught up in it.I experimented with translating the characters from the Heart Sutra, Kung Ji Shi Se Se Ji Shi Kung, as form is emptiness, as form is empty, emptiness has come to be form, because the Chinese is very flexible and might allow that interpretation. But that would leave form as somehow existing, and emptiness would be a mere attribute. When you say that form is none other than emptiness, you have eradicated any idea of form that can be perceived as a standalone, separate, permanent thing. By saying that emptiness is none other than form, you erase any possibility that there is a void somewhere, that emptiness is in another realm that you can travel to. Hui Neng said that looking for enlightenment apart from reality is like seeing the horns on a rabbit. Everything is as it is, quite simple. Our vexations make the world complicated, much more complicated than it needs to be.
所以说这个就是最后最究竟的一种清晰度来用看到事物的本来面貌本来现象，而我们既跟它互动却又不会受这种现象的困扰。就像我对心经当中的一些翻译的一些体验一样，比如说他说空即是色，色即是空，可以翻译成某种方式，因为中文的方式中文的翻译它是比较灵活的，可能可以允许这种翻译，特别是因为当我们说到色是色的时候，如果不把它翻译成空即是色，色即是空的话呢，有些时候我们会认为这个事物的就是现象中色就是现象，它好像是一个固有的存在一样，实际上它并不存在，所以它色即是空就把这个空给根除掉，把就让你不会有这种错误的想法。然后说空本身也是色的时候呢，就是说你也会理解到它其实是跟现象是紧密连接在一起的，并不是一个空洞的虚无的概念。就像慧能曾经说到，说如果你想脱离现象本质来寻找开悟的话呢，就像是在寻找一个长脚的兔子。所以其实一切都是很简单很明白，但是我们的烦恼让这个世界变得非常复杂。
So as to this state of non-duality, in the Vimalakirti Sutra, Manjushri says, when he's asked to define it, when you can neither speak nor talk of any event, when you neither indicate nor know anything, when you pass beyond both questions and answers, this is entering the gate of non-duality. And when Vimalakirti, the householder, is asked the same question, he's asked to describe non-duality, he remains silent. It's the only way to speak of the ineffable, silence. So in the last hour and a half, I've been speaking about something which you can't speak about.
所以就像在维摩诘经当中提到的这种无能所不存在二元对立的状态是曼珠舍利菩萨是这样说，他说当你既不能对任何的事物现象你都无法言语，而也无法指出或者知道的时候，当你超越了问题和答案本身的时候，你就进入了这种无能所的状态。就像维摩诘当他被问到如何来描述无能所的非二元对立状态的时候，他所做的就是保持沉默，这是唯一能够来宣讲这种无法解释的空性的方法，也就是沉默。
And finally, the Buddha saw Sariputra one day after he was meditating. The Buddha noted that Sariputra looked radiant. So the Buddha said to Sariputra, "Where have you been abiding?" And Sariputra said, "I have been abiding in emptiness."
最后就像佛陀有一天看到舍利佛在打坐的时候，他看到他全身在发光，所以他就问舍利佛，他说你的心在哪里，你在哪里安住，然后舍利佛说我安住在空性中。
So my wish here for everyone is to simplify and clarify, and then what would life be like? Will there be fireworks and a chorus of trumpets when we reach that state? Probably it'll be like Linji described. He said, just act ordinary. Put on your clothes. Eat your rice. Pass the time with nothing particular to do. Thank you.
所以这是我对大家最后的祝福，就是希望大家都能够用很简单清晰的方式能够了悟空性。那么当我们有一天达到这个状态的时候，会是什么样子呢？会不会有很多烟花炮竹，很多号角吹响起？恐怕不见得是这样的。就像灵济禅师会说，我们应该如何过我们的生活呢？就是像一个正常人一样，穿上你的衣服，穿衣吃饭然后每天呢都无所没有特别要做的事情，这样去度过每一天。好，今天我讲座就到这里。
Okay, thank you all.
非常感谢大家。